Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Just pause working on your brackets for just a little bit here as we focus on the good, bad, and crazy martinis. Still got a couple days to get those in anyway. Jim, the good news today is that the president's poll numbers are tanking. We have talked a lot in the last couple of weeks about his complete lack of a realistic approach to dealing with high gas prices. Basically, his only knee-jerk reaction is to reject any serious proposal offered by Republicans. And the American people, thankfully, are noticing. The president's overall job approval numbers, according to the ABC News Washington Post survey, is now back below 50%, around 46%. His handling of the economy, down from 44% to 38%. His handling of gas prices, 65% disapproved, 26% approve. He was up 6 in the last poll over Romney. Now he's down by 2, and he's within the margin of error with Rick Santorum, although still ahead. So if the president thought he was going to just skate away from this issue, not happening.
Yeah, I actually am going to disagree with you slightly on this, Greg. And it's observing the moment this poll number came out, I said, all right, I got to see what the partisan breakdown of the sample is. And this one had, I believe, 31% Democrats, 27% Republicans, you know, Democrats by 4. In my book, that's fine. But the last one, and the one that people kept citing about, oh, Obama's back, his approval rating skyrocketing, he looks like a lock for reelection, had Democrats 11 percentage points higher than Republicans. And that was, put simply, way too high. The skew in the 2008 exit polls, people who actually showed up to vote, was Democrats by 7. And you think that's got to be probably a crest of the wave for Democrats in an election year. So the answer is that, no, Obama is not coming down. He was never that high to begin with. It was a really lousy poll sample. What we were being fed earlier did not jive with what we all would kind of instinctively know, which is that, look, we're all paying more than we have in a long time to fill up our gas tanks. Why would people be feeling hunky-dory about President Obama? Why would they be pleased with the way he's doing handling gas prices? One of the things that jumped out at me in these poll results was that probably about 50% believe that the administration could be doing something to bring the cost of gas down, and about 45% the administration has no such control. Well, all right, that's fine. But about 30-some percent thought it was out of the president's hands back when George W. Bush was president. This was back in 2006, back when gas prices were starting to head up, but nothing like the really, you know, exorbitant prices we saw in 2008. So you do the math on that, and there's probably about, you know, 10-12% of Americans who believe there's nothing Obama can do about gas prices, but there was something George W. Bush could do about gas prices. So apparently there was some sort of lever in the Oval Office that set the price when Bush was president, but when Obama came in, it went away, and now it's irresponsible and silly to blame him for this. Now look, we all know that gas prices are set by a whole bunch of different factors, and some of this is international supply and international demand, but look, when you've made a whole bunch of choices to not exploit domestic resources, and this goes from the XL pipeline to the permitting process down in the Gulf, Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor, has an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal about this today. Look, there are a bunch of decisions this administration has made that made energy prices higher. So I look at this and argue that look, the gloom that have been surrounded Republican prospects for 2012 has been remarkably misguided. I think this is a very vulnerable president, and all the Republican president has to do is say, look, I can make your life better, and here's how. And, you know, gas prices will be a very big component of that, Greg.
That certainly is. And I think you hit in a very good point there. Even if the people aren't focused, and they may be, on specific policies like expanded exploration and certainly the Keystone Pipeline, they want to get the sense that the president doesn't like the way things are right now, and he's really trying to do something to, at least in the long run, if not in the near term, make things better. And I don't think they're getting that. And as evidence of that, on the very same ABC News site where the story is on the poll, here are the top four stories. Taliban vow revenge after soldiers' alleged rampage. We'll be talking about that, unfortunately, in a bit. Number two is the gas price story, denting Obama's rating. Number three is violence in the Middle East, rockets hitting Israel over the weekend. Number four, Obama offers NCAA bracket. So
his mind is right where you are, America, you know. And in a way he is, but, you know, I mean, remember 1 year ago at this time, Japan was dealing with its giant nuclear crisis, and he was still filling out brackets then when, you know, right. There was a prospect of a giant radioactive cloud headed towards Tokyo. So Nothing gets between Obama and his bracket picks, does it?
Yeah, at least he's consistent, you know. Nothing's more important than his...
He's not a flip-flopper on the importance of his bracket picks. That's correct, Greg.
That's exactly right. All right, on to Martini number two now, and obviously a shift in mood here. The story over the weekend from Afghanistan, where apparently this U.S. soldier just walked out of camp, walked into the village that he was assigned to help protect with his squad. He's based out of Fort Lewis, Washington. He's married with two kids, and whatever happened, he just went house to house and started shooting people. The number, according to the military, is in the teens. Obviously, he's in custody now. It's believed that this was just a one-person event that happened that led to these horrific killings, and we're not really sure what set him off. But, Jim, at a time when we already knew that the overreaction of the Afghan people to the accidental Quran burnings, the attitude of Karzai in general towards the United States still being there, the Taliban role and the negotiations and everything, all of this is coming together now to just make this mission even more difficult. It's been made more difficult anyway by this administration keeping its eye on the exit date rather than anything they're actually trying to achieve there.
Yeah, this is awful news from top to bottom. Well, a lot of people had argued, I think it was Barry McCaffrey, after the recent shootings of U.S. personnel on military bases and in U.S. facilities by Afghan National Army troops, the idea that, look, we have sleepers within the Army we're supposed to be working with. And he had just observing, like, after 10 years of U.S. bleeding for a better Afghanistan, after, you know, billions of dollars of U.S. treasure being spent, that we still can't figure out who the good Afghanis and the bad Afghanis are. And the bad guys are still infiltrating the ranks, and the bad guys are still shooting our you know, fellow Americans at their desks. Barry McCaffrey, by no means a dove, was saying, you know what, maybe it's time to give up on this, that this is not something in which we really want to spend one more dime or one more drop of American blood. Newt Gingrich made similar comments over the weekend, and now we have this. Look, we don't know which Afghans are the good guys. And we don't know what motivated this troop to go on this rampage. And let me emphasize that there is nothing that justifies the killing of children as this barbarian did. But if within our own ranks there is so much rage about the inability to know which Afghans are working for you and which working with you and which ones are working against you, then maybe it's time to pull the plug. I mean, this is a serious problem that I don't – you would assume that there were no warning signs that this guy was about to go off and do something like this. And in the case of not one but two Afghanis turning on our people, there's no warnings of that. And so you really are left in a circumstance in which I don't think there are any good policy proposals, de-escalation or anything like this. If Obama's been looking for an excuse to pull the plug on the Afghan mission – this series of crises might be precisely what he's looking for. It's kind of fascinating that, you know, I don't think you necessarily say that this is a typical white flag of surrender dove comment if Newt Gingrich is among those saying, look, maybe it's time to say this is a mission we can't win. Anyway, that's my cheery bad martini. I'm sure there'll be folks who'll be arguing that, look, we all remember the Time magazine cover depicting a woman who had her nose burned off by acid because the Taliban had been enraged that she was going to school. The consequences of U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan are bad, and we should have no illusions about that. However, the consequences of staying are bad, and at this point it seems like a particularly perilous time for our forces in Afghanistan.
That seems to be the case in a lot of ways. And, of course, the argument for staying is look at all that we've invested already. And you always have the families of the fallen soldiers saying, don't let my child die in vain. But unless there is a coherent policy here, that's got to be the way forward. So a lot more questions than answers, unfortunately, there. Jim, on to martini number three now and back towards, I guess, the lighter side, although this particular event was a little
lighter after that, Greg.
Yeah, that's probably true. Your old buddy and ours, Alan Grayson, a former congressman from Florida's 8th Congressional District, lost badly to Daniel Webster, the Republican, in a race that Jim coined the devil and Daniel Webster back in 2010. This is a guy who basically said Republicans, their health care strategy was to die quickly. First it was don't get sick, I think, and then it was die quickly. Anyway, his own party doesn't really want him to be running for this office again, but he is anyway. He's also the champion of the Occupy movement, the 99%, and apparently, Jim, got into a wreck with a commuter bus in his Mercedes going to a fundraiser. Not quite sure that's the narrative he was looking for if he's trying to get back on top with the Democrats.
Oh, not just a fundraiser, but an actress from HBO's Curb Your Enthusiasm and Robert Kennedy Jr. and all that. Look, nothing is going to stop Grayson in his comeback attempt. Not even red lights. You know, we've all heard the joke that the most dangerous place in Washington is between Chuck Schumer and a camera.
Right.
Well, look, clearly it's even more dangerous to be in between Alan Grayson and a high-dollar fundraiser. Now, there are a couple of people who would observe that, look, former Congressman Grayson is the kind of person who would warn people of these sorts of things. He has said in the past that his plan for people for traffic safety is to not get between his Benz and a fundraiser. And if you do get between his Benz and a fundraiser, then die quickly. Oh, that's not Congressman Grayson? You didn't say that? That's an unfair attack? That's putting words in your mouth? That's imputing a malicious motive to your principled view? Really? Oh, I'm sorry. Alan Grayson is one of those guys who really almost single-handedly managed to bring down the level of discourse in Washington. In a way, the fact that he would have something like this happen to him doesn't seem all that surprising. I've heard a couple people observe on Twitter this morning, just wait till he sues the victims for getting in his way. This is who he is. And so I think his chances of returning to Congress were not that great. And something like this certainly will not help them. So it's a crazy martini, but it's one that I will happily drink down.
Let's be clear, though. We do hope he wins the nomination because beating him should not be that hard.
Yeah. And also, as much as we're chuckling over this, it sounds like the injuries of the other people in the bus were minor. But nonetheless, people did get hurt in this.
Absolutely.
Here's hoping they have a quick recovery and that they have access to a good lawyer.
Exactly right. Jim, we'll leave it there. Talk to you on Tuesday. Have a great day.
Looking forward to it, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us on Tuesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.